T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Ian Hoke on WWL. That poor little bill that's hoping to become a law won't have to go sit through committee and won't have to get kicked around on Capitol Hill in order to become a law if Mandy Landry's House Bill 165 becomes codified law. The sponsor of that bill, Mandy Landry from the Fighting 91st, is on the line. Good afternoon, Mandy.
Hey, Ian. I love that, the Fighting 91st.
Yeah, I was like, why is that always in my mind when I think of the district? That's actually a Stephen Colbert joke. When he used to do the Colbert Report back, like, before anybody knew who he was. And he would invite these Congress people on. He would say, you know, my guest right now is Jim Jimerson from Michigan's 5th District, the Fighting 5th. And then poor Jim Jimerson would have no idea what was about to happen to him, and Colbert would just drag these people, and they thought it was like a serious interview. Anyway, so I just, well, I don't know. I always like to say, hey, it's the Fighting District.
I also went to Notre Dame, so
hey,
there
cool.
You go.
There you go. Perfect. All right, Mandy, House Bill 165. What inspired you to introduce this bill? What are you hoping to achieve with this?
Mm-hmm. So this would create a ballot initiative process in Louisiana. About half of all states have something similar. And what it is if you gather a certain amount of signatures in a certain amount of time, voters can put an issue directly on the ballot, minimum wage, legalizing recreational weed, I mean, all kinds of things. And you put a high threshold so that, you know, there's a lot of effort in it. And just to make clear to listeners what my bill would do, is my bill would actually put this issue on the ballot in October so voters can decide if they even want it.
Whoa, so we have a referendum so that we can have referendums?
Basically, yeah. So they're called referendums, ballot initiatives. I think there's a few other terms, but it's essentially a form of direct democracy that has a pretty high threshold, but I think should be available to people in Louisiana.
Okay, great. So you mentioned about half the states have this. I think I looked last night. I think it's 26. So if we become the 25th, then it'll be 50-50. I don't totally understand why this isn't standard practice in every United States. Can you tell me what are the advantages and disadvantages of allowing citizens to pass laws through referendums? Why don't we all do this?
Right. So first, the reason we don't is every state has its own state constitution that's set up very differently. And the separation of powers is different. And in our state, only the legislature can create laws. So we would have to slightly amend our constitution to add a ballot initiative. You know, something like this has its pros and its cons. California has this, and most people think their threshold for votes is too low because they're able to pass stuff all the time, and it kind of creates a chaos in their laws. So I think if this is done right, you would only see something new passed every several years, maybe once or twice a decade, because it should be a very deliberate process if the people are going to go a little bit around the legislature.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the sort of chaos that they have in California, because it always comes up with like housing and taxes and zone, like single family zoning and stuff. They've got all these laws that were passed by referendum that are actually quite like deeply unpopular and don't serve the citizens of the state very well. And that gets me thinking about what you just mentioned of, you know, we have to kind of space these out, maybe, for example,
right. You
know, so what would be the process for amending or repealing laws that were passed through a referendum? For example, if we, legalize recreational marijuana through a statewide referendum, what's to stop the Louisiana Sheriff's Association from getting a referendum on the ballot next year to undo that? Won't we just be kind of trading back and forth all the time?
I mean, that's theoretically possible, but you'd want to set the threshold fairly high so that there's buy-in from around the state. And what happens in California, they have recalls all the time, too. Their threshold is so low that if you gather a little bit amount of money, you can get this stuff passed. So, I mean, that's theoretically possible here, but more likely what would happen is if there was a referendum that was successful, you would have already had opposition in the process before it was passed. And we also, the legislature could set up sort of restrictions that say, okay, if a ballot initiative passes a new law, the state legislature can override that with, say, a 2/3 vote or an X amount of vote. There's always ways to put it in. And as we saw with our recall process in New Orleans, the threshold was really high. So we would have to decide, do we want a threshold that high? Do we want a threshold 75% of that? These are all things that voters and legislators are going to weigh in on if we decide to move forward.
What's your gut tell you about what the right threshold is to pass a referendum? Would it be like, would it be something like 25% of the state's voters have to approve this, or would it be 25% of people that, or 50, or is it just as simple as an up or down vote? Like, okay, let's say, 100,000 people vote, 100,000 people voted either yes or no on this. If a majority of them vote yes, the referendum is passed, or I don't know. How does the math work? What do you think?
Yes. So typically what you would see is if the people had enough signatures, the issue would go on the ballot and it would pass like anything else with a 51% vote. The question is, how many signatures would you need to put something on the ballot? And that is something that if my bill passes in the fall, we would set up a pretty complex committee to look at how every state has done this, to find something kind of in the middle so that it's a doable number, but not so easy that you have a California situation.
And probably I presume you'd have something in place to say that, oh, Barney Rubble and Mickey Mouse and Daffy Duck, want legalized marijuana. I mean, there's going to be sort of checks in place to protect the integrity of these referendums.
So the signatures are going to have to be as viewed as strictly as voting and as strictly as the signatures in the recall petition. I mean, we just saw in New Orleans how many got kicked out because it was Donald Duck, people who had moved. So it is a laborious process, which is why we have to do it properly. But so is voting. I mean, we have over 4 million people in the state and we don't have enough voter turnout. But, we have 64 parishes and all these localities. We have to be careful about voting as well. And I think the state has done a fairly decent job, although we got to clean up some of those voter rolls for sure.
For sure. I think we can all agree on that. Okay, Mandy, I'm curious to know, how does this impact the role of elected officials? Do you get the sense that the people you work with in Baton Rouge are going to want to share power with, the people in this way? Is this going to be a popular thing in Baton Rouge or no?
I think it might be some sort of strange bedfellows.
Great. Oh, I love those. Those are the best.
Yeah, I love those. I know. Like, I had bills a couple of years ago for term limits for other elected officials. The legislature has term limits, and term limits are typically popular among conservatives. But I agree that I think we need term limits, because otherwise you have people in office for 40 years.
Yep.
And I picked up support amongst sort of true blue conservative Republicans. And I think a lot of my colleagues may have a hard time telling voters in an election year that they don't want to share a little bit of power with them. Because the fact is, voters know that it's really hard to affect things in the legislature. It's far from most of the state. People don't have money or time to really lobby their legislators as they might want to. And this gives them just a little twinge of getting their power back.
Do you see a future where this bill becomes law and we pass referendums to legalize recreational marijuana or raise the minimum wage or protect abortion care rights. And then the legislature turns around and says, no, we're not going to do that. That's a scenario that we've seen play out in some other states. I think Missouri, Missouri chief among them, keeps passing these sort of progressive statewide referendums with broad support. I mean, you know, an overwhelming majority of people voting in support of these initiatives. And then their state representatives turn around and they pull some sort of loosey with the football thing. And they're like, oh, that thing that 80% of you voted for, we are not going to deliver for reasons X, Y, and Z. How do we protect ourselves against a situation like that?
Right. I mean, first of all, I think you need to have some sort of stopgap in the legislature, because there's always a theoretical possibility that people will pass something wild, like a minimum wage of $100 an hour. there's just things that, I mean, and I think that would pass here, to be honest. So there has to be some sort of stopgap in the legislature, and I think we can figure that out. But, you know, the reason I'm kind of optimistic about this is Louisiana has a populist streak a mile wide. We really do. And I think that if this issue or some of these types of issues go on the ballot, I think the representatives will take a step back, because I know privately there are a lot of my colleagues who are a lot more moderate than they vote. And that comes from outside pressure from some of these interest groups. And so I think this would give them a little bit of, I don't want to say cover, but encouragement to vote a little more moderately.
Okay, so how can this process be used by like special interest groups or lobbyists, for better or for worse? I mean, I understand how Ian, you know, wants the minimum wage. So I'm going to try and get as many signatures as I can to get this on the ballot next fall. Mm-hmm. And then we're all going to vote for that. But could like, you know, somebody from the oil and gas lobby, for example, you know, get together enough signatures, and they're very well resourced, right? So they could they could throw a lot of money at this and get a lot of signatures together very quickly that say, we're going to have no more regulations about pollutants or chemical spills or anything like that. And then that ends up on the ballot. And then perhaps there's, you know, a push to approve that. And maybe it, I mean, just a shorter way to ask this is, are there ways that the system can be abused by people who already have plenty of power in Baton Rouge and don't need this sort of shortcut where regular Joe and Jane, who are just going about their daily lives, this would be good for us. But the process could be abused by others who are in a more powerful position, right?
I mean, those groups already do abuse the process because they already do have a lot of money and say and everything. And sure, they could abuse this new process with their money, but they kind of already have it easy. I mean, it's a lot easier to influence 105 state representatives than it is to influence tens of thousands of voters. So, I mean, theoretically they could do that. I think there would also be a step in the process at the beginning to make sure what's put on the ballot could actually be passed. I mean, there's things like what you just described could not be passed in full because there are federal laws regarding pollution and we can't change those laws. So there would have to be some steps in the beginning to ensure that what is being put is even possible.
Mandy, I just got another minute here left. What else are you working on right now?
It is going to be a very busy session. The other bill I have that has gotten a fair amount of bipartisan attention is a tax credit for gun storage units. We have a horrible problem in New Orleans of guns being stolen from cars very easily and children having access to guns. And I wish I could do more than just a tax credit on a gun safe, but that seems to be a start at getting people aware that they can buy these items and that they are useful for preventing theft. And then my colleagues on the right like the idea because they and their constituents own a lot of firearms and they want to encourage them to have gun safes too. So it's not a very big bill, but it has gotten strong support across the aisle, and that's not that common in Louisiana.
I love it. I always say, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the done.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think it's a small bill, do it, you know, and then after a few more terms, you look back and you're like, look at everything I've accomplished. That's great. Mandy Landry is my guest from the Fightin' 91st. Thank you so much for your time today, ma'am. Very nice speaking with you today, as always, and we'll look forward to doing it again in the future.
Appreciate it. I'll be back.
Adios, amiga. We'll be back with more of your calls and comments on the Oak Corner Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. I've got some text lined up here I'm going to read when we come back. James in Metairie is on line one. We'll chat with him. And I've got a passage that I'd like to read to you from Carl Sagan, from something he wrote in 1995 that I think is very thought-provoking, as long as we're talking about Fox News and media misinformation. Ian Hoken for Scoot. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to BRB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.